Hey there, everybody. I am Aline Thompson. I am the founder of Treasured Ministries, the author of the Nourish Bible Study series, and the creator of the Nourish Bible Study Method. And with our Nourish devotions, we've been walking through the book of Ephesians, talking about something called godly girl power. And we're going to continue on that journey today, looking at Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. Now, if you want to journey with us and you haven't started using the Nourish devotions yet, we'd love to have you join us. Just go to treasuredministries.com and click on the Nourish tab. So we've been talking about this idea of godly girl power, which is very different from worldly power. Worldly power is when we're trying to take power from people or circumstances, when we're trying to control other people and circumstances to get our needs met, and it all focuses on self. Godly girl power is altogether different. It is the inner strength of a woman being confidently led by the Holy Spirit to become the woman that God created and redeemed her to be. And I got to tell you that nothing makes me feel more powerless than when I face something called emotion commotion. And what I mean by emotion commotion is when a strong force of emotion just sort of wells up in you. It could be fear, it could be anxiety, it could be anger, it could be frustration, it could just be that dark cloud of depression that settles over you. And let me tell you something, as God would have it, and I love this, when I teach something, often God will take me through it. And that's exactly what happened to me on Monday. I faced circumstance after circumstance, people that were just on my last nerve, and just one thing after another. And my emotions got into commotion. I felt frustrated. I felt overwhelmed. I thought, fine then, I'll just quit. You know, just had all those emotions and became very distracted. It was a very unproductive day. And I thought about how much our desires, our emotions can actually derail us sometimes when they're in the driver's seat. Because you see, as we're going to find out from our nurse scripture today, as much as there is a God that loves us and wants us to be led by the Holy Spirit so that we can do our God-given purpose that He's planned for us long ago, there is an enemy that would love nothing more than to distract us and derail us from doing what God wants us to do. And I know you can relate to that. You know, just those moments where you might lose your temper or respond in a way that's not kind, and that emotion just comes on strong. And it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. And so today, though, as God would have it, the very thing I struggled with Monday, our Nourish scripture this week talks about. And so today, we're going to be looking at practical, biblical ways that you and I can handle our emotions so that our emotions aren't handling us. Now, emotions aren't bad. It's a part of that makes you a human. God gave us emotions, but the trouble with emotions and desires is that when they get put in the driver's seat, or when those desires become demands that we place on other people or things, that's when they can become dangerous. And we're going to be looking at that, why that is also too. And so we want to be wise women. I want to be a wise woman. I want to be, you know, have productive days. I don't want to get derailed or you know, go into a pity party or all that sort of stuff. And the truth is that we're not going to stop feeling those emotions. That's not our goal. But our goal from today is to find practical ways that we can not be powerless when we're faced with those emotions. And the way that we do that is by letting the Holy Spirit direct our lives, not being driven by emotion. And that's what wise women do. Wise women take a step back and aim to live directed by the Holy Spirit, not driven by their desires, in order that they can walk in their God-given destiny. Okay, so let's look at the passage from this week. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And so Paul begins talking to the Ephesians, who they were a group of believers, but he begins out in this passage by discussing with them and reminding them of how they used to live apart from Christ. And he reminds them that the way that they used to live, it says in verse 3, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclination of our sinful nature. And so he says to them, do you remember how we all used to have to live? That we were just driven by our desires. That's it. Just whatever felt right, whatever, you know, we thought we did right. And so desires were sort of like our king. So he reminds them of that. And then in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2, he reminds them of why that was really a dangerous way to live. He says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So he tells them, you know, and those are some pretty, you know, powerful verses. I mean, he's just talked in chapter 1 a whole lot about God's love. And then it's like he just says, let me just remind you how you used to live. You used to live just solely when you were apart from God, directed by your desires. And then he says, that was a dangerous way to live. You know why? Because the enemy of your soul, who wants nothing but destruction for our lives, who is behind the evil in the world, he is behind all of that, and he can use our desires to his advantage. They're like buttons in his hand that he can use by feeding us lies and manipulating us to sin. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later. And then he reminds them of their new position. So he talked about the way they used to live. He talked about why that was dangerous because of the enemy. And then he says, but God, don't you just love that? But God is so rich in his mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. In other words, you have a new position now, and you're not on your own. You have life in Christ, and he lives within you. And the very source of life, which is what your desires were longing for before anyway, your deepest needs can now be met through him. And so he reminds them of how they used to live, why that was dangerous, and then their new position in Christ. And then he goes on to say that you've been saved by grace. This is Ephesians 2:8. When you believed, and you can't take credit for this is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. And then he says, for we are all God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And so he reminds them not only of their new position in Christ, that they're not on their own, that they're not powerless to those desires, but also that they have a purpose to live for, and that purpose would be to bring glory back to God, and it would be exactly what they were created and redeemed to do. Now, you may be thinking, and sort of why I was thinking, well, why did Paul go back, and why did he want to remind them of the way they used to live if they weren't living that way anymore? And certainly, I think that it's always good for us to remember what life was like apart from Christ and what we didn't have, to remind ourselves and to grow that gratitude within us. But I think that it's no accident that Paul reminds us of that And then he goes on to tell them about their position and then the purpose that they have, because I believe in essence what he is saying is that don't ever trade your purpose for your passion. Now, your salvation is a gift. You can't lose it. But your purpose is something that you walk in as you surrender to Christ. And what you may be saying is, I remember asking this question myself, and even this week, well, if I'm in Christ, if I'm a Christian, then why did I still, you know, have that battle with fear or have that commotion going on? And here's what I want to say to you is that, you know, when you became a Christian, you became a child of God. But the experience of you walking in that freedom is a process, a lifetime journey. And I believe that true freedom is not a destination, but a journey of living as we are led by the Holy Spirit to become all God created us to be. Now, Galatians 5:1 says, it's for Christ that we've been set free. Therefore, don't enslave yourself all over again to those yokes of bondage. And so Christ has set us free. That is our position. But because of the way that we used to live, and I love how Paul says that in Ephesians 2:3, remember the way you used to live, all those ways that we used to live to look for life for our souls. You know, those ways are patterns in our life. And although we were saved and our spirit was completely sanctified, our mind is a whole nother story. And so as we renew our mind on the truth, we learn to live as a child of God. And it is absolutely a process. Yes, we are all adopted. Yes, we have the gift of salvation, but learning about what that means and enjoying it comes by yielding to this Holy Spirit, yielding to the voice of God, which is exactly what Godly Girl Power is all about. But here's the thing. The enemy is still alive and kicking. He can't take your salvation, but he would just love to wreak havoc in your life. And I believe that our hearts, in particular a woman's heart, is absolutely one of the major battlegrounds for our freedom because of the nature of desire and how strong it is and how deceptive it is. I believe that's why Solomon said, guard your heart, for out of it flows the direction of life. So our hearts can be this battleground for freedom. And so the enemy seeks to take our hearts captive through destructive sources, but Jesus has laid down his life to fight for our hearts, to release us to live for his glory as we look to him as our sole source of life. Now, see, not only do we have these patterns and we have these passions and desires within us, and they're just the ways that we used to live before we became a Christian that are different, that are familiar and comfortable, but the enemy also knows our passions and desires. He knows our old patterns. And he uses those against us by lying to us. John 8:44 says that the enemy is the father of all lies, and that he will speak to those desires. And he is, if you look in Matthew chapter 4, and I don't have time to go there, but it's when the enemy comes to Jesus and tempts him. And you will see that the way that he tempts Jesus are really for good desires. I mean, Jesus was hungry. You know, being hungry is a legitimate need. It's a legitimate desire. Hunger is a legitimate desire. And then, you know, he promised Jesus the kingdom. And so, you know, certainly Jesus wanted to spread the gospel. And so, you know, all of these were like legitimate needs. And it was, he was even using a little bit of scripture. So it was very confusing because he was mixing in those truths. And that's what the enemy will do. He will appeal to gratifying our desires. But it's not that the desire, you know, to be hungry was bad or to want food was bad. And certainly you and I have desires like the desire to be loved and accepted, the desire to have security, the desire to have significance and a purpose. And none of those are bad desires. So don't think that I'm telling you don't feel, you shouldn't have desires. In fact, the Bible says delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. But that's the key, is that the enemy will appeal to those desires and he'll use them as buttons in our life, and his plans are evil. But God calls us to bring our desires to Him and trust Him that we may be led by the Holy Spirit and just rely on Him to meet all those needs in our life. But when you look at Matthew chapter 4 and you see the way the enemy tempted Jesus, you can see that even in our own life, that our most desired gains and our most feared losses are precisely where the enemy will attach his hooks to pull his little strings. So our desires can become buttons that he uses. If you've got a desire to be loved and you're a people pleaser, and you know, Ephesians 6 tells us that our fight is not with, it's not with that person that's driving you crazy. This is a battle. You know, it's with principalities and powers, and the enemy will exploit those desires and provide the perfect bait to drag you out into the perfect storm and reach out for the wrong rescue. And if there was ever anything that if you and I were sitting down and having lunch that I could tell you, I would tell you that you guard your heart. You guard your desires. It's not that you turn your desires off. It's not that you stop feeling, but you need to guard them because it is a battleground for the enemy, and he is the big manipulator and liar. And I love what Bob Hamp says, and Bob Hamp wrote this great book called Live Differently, Think Differently. I highly, highly recommend it. But he says this about the enemy. He says the enemy, he can just start the song in our head by, you know, feeding us lies, and he knows that you'll finish it. You know, he knows the patterns. He knows the deepest desires. He knew exactly, you know, how to just twist the truth just enough for Eve and appeal to her desire to be just like God, you know, appeal to that desire to entice her to sin. And so we need to be on guard for that. And just because we are seated with Christ doesn't mean that we're beyond temptation. In fact, I think it means that the battle becomes stronger because Jesus has a plan for you, and you were created to bring value to this world by living for His glory. And the enemy would love nothing more. He can't steal your salvation, but he can certainly just wreak havoc in your life, especially when you start stepping out and walking into your purpose. Okay, and I think that one of the ways he does that is by, you know, overwhelming us with these strong, or just, you know, lined us, and then we get all frustrated and upset, and or fearful, and we just become paralyzed. So we are going to go to the Word of God today because we're going to draw a line in the sand, and we're not going to make it our goal never to feel these emotions again, because again, that's a part of who you are. But we're going to make it our goal, just a pact between us brave hearts right now, that we are going to make it our aim to be led by the Holy Spirit and not let emotions have the driver's seat anymore, okay? So the goal is not to ever feel these feelings again, not to feel anxiety, not to feel anger, but let's look how the Word tells us what we can do so that we will not be powerless against emotions, because I tell you, that is one quick way that we can lose our power is, you know, I mean, Monday was a total wash. I was completely distracted and derailed. And I'm glad that it happened, because it really made me dig in the Word of God and showed me what I needed to teach about this week. And you know what? When I applied the things I found in the Word, let me tell you, they worked. They worked. Okay, so where I went to find what to do. And there's actually a lot that you can look at, but I think in particular that James chapter 4 verses 1 through 10 will tell us a lot. And so that's the scripture reference from there. And I'm going to be giving you about five things that you can do with your emotions so that your emotions don't handle you. Okay, so we're going to take back our power, right? So we can be directed by the Holy Spirit, not driven by our emotions, because that's a dangerous place, because the enemy is the father of all lies. Okay, so the first thing that we want to do is that we want to make it our goal. That our goal is not about never feeling overwhelmed again or never feeling anxiety again or fear again. That's not the goal. The goal is who is going to direct you. And the goal is that we want the Holy Spirit to be our leader, not our emotions. Okay. And that's why, you know, in the Bible, it says, do not fear, do not fear. Well, we're still going to feel fear when we're doing things, but we're not going to let that fear prevent us from following God because of our God-given purpose. That's where we want to be. Okay, and then the second thing is that you want to remember when emotion commotion hits, who the real enemy is. I was watching The Hunger Games this weekend. Love that movie. And when Katniss was getting ready to fight in The Hunger Games, they told her, remember who the real enemy is, which was Snow. And we need to remember that when the heat of those emotions comes on, because a lot of times it's, you know, this person's irritating us and this person didn't do this and, you know, my husband this and you need to remember who the real enemy is. And remember that this is a battle that we're in. And that, you know, I don't know about you, but that sort of fires me up. And so when your desires rage strong in you and, you know, you just feel like the enemy's pushing all your buttons to lose your temper, to get angry, I want you to stop. And I want you to tell him, and this comes from actually Ephesians 3, when Paul says, the way you used to live, you just open your mouth and you tell him, you know what? That's the way I used to live. I used to have to people please everybody. I used to feel overwhelmed. I used to get angry when things didn't go my way. I used to do all those things. I used to react to those feelings of anger. That's the way I used to live, because I used to be only directed by my desires. But now I'm seated with Christ at the right hand of God, and I have the Holy Spirit, and I can live a new way. So just announce to him that that's not going to work anymore, and that you know you have a choice. And following the Holy Spirit will always be a choice, because God never forces us. He invites us to follow, because authentic love never involves control. The next thing that you want to do is you want to humble yourself to get the help you need. Don't hide and try to handle it on your own. Now, here's what the enemy will do with emotions, is that he will condemn us for even having the emotions in the first place. You know, if you are you're just really angry at somebody, or you have worry or anxiety, and then you start to feel this tremendous amount of guilt for even having those feelings. I mean, and so then, because he's condemned you about having those feelings, then you don't run to God, you hide from him. And a lot of times we do one or two things. One, we try to handle it ourselves. We just say, you know what, I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to get through this through myself. And we just push that emotion down, which it never goes away. It never really handles it. It might solve it for a little while, but not forever. You know, or we hide, or we try to just go emotionally numb. We tell ourselves we don't care, But that's not the truth, and that's not going to help us, and that's us trying to handle it. Listen to what James says. I'm not going to read all the verses in chapter 4, 1 through 10. And so I'm reading now from James chapter 4, verse 6, and verses 1 through 6 talk a lot about the havoc that the desires, the quarrels, you know, and just the mess that they make in our life. And then it talks about in verse 6, it says that God gives grace generously. And then it says, as the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And you know, I read that and I thought about that. And I thought, you know, here's James talking about desires, and he's saying that he gives grace generously. And so basically, it goes along with Hebrews chapter 4, where it tells us that we can go boldly to the throne, that Jesus, our great high priest, was a human. He was the Son of God and the Son of Man. Okay, that's what I mean when I say that. He was definitely God the whole time. But anyway, he came to earth, and so he felt all these emotions. And so, you know, we can come to him boldly before the throne, and he will understand. And he's not ashamed of us for having these feelings. And what this says is that, you know, we can't be proud. We can't, like, hide from God or say, oh gosh, that wasn't Christian. Let me handle it on my own. No, we need to go to God and say, you know what, God, I own the fact that I'm angry and I'm upset and I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your help to get through this. And he gives grace to the humble. And humble is coming to God and saying, I need you and I can't do this on my own. But if we're proud and we say, God, I've got this, let me just repress this emotion or hide it down, you know, God, it's sort of like never going to the doctor and getting help. We're still and trying to put band-aids maybe on a gaping wound. You know, it might help initially, but it's not going to heal. So we need to go to God to get that healing. Then verse 7 goes on to say, so humble yourselves before the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. So we want to humble ourselves and get help from God in humility, right? We don't want to hide in our pride and try to handle it on our own, because God has grace for those desires. And as you come to him, but he's never going to force you to do that. So we've got to be humble. So come to him. And then it says, resist the devil. You know, just worship him. Turn on some praise music. Tell God exactly how you feel and just worship him. And then you're going to resist the enemy, right? Because we're going to remember who the real enemy is. We're going to tell him, yeah, that's the way I used to live, but I just humbled myself before God and he's going to give me help, right? And then in that resisting him, you want to remember who the real enemy is. We don't want to transfer blame to certain, you know, people and circumstances. We want to get to the root and fight this battle God's way. And then it says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. So as we come to God, we also need to come to him with need. And then we need to let go and say, you know what? There's nothing that I desire in this world that can fulfill the longing in my soul but Jesus. So whatever it is that I think I want that maybe has changed from a desire to a demand my soul is making, I need to remind myself that there's nothing in this world but Jesus that can fill that hole in my heart. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. And that means that our hearts are longing for him. They're longing for eternity. And C.S. Lewis talks about inconsolable longings, that, you know, having the next whatever it is, or wanting this or wanting that, you know, even if we don't get it, it's not, we already have everything we need for life. in Jesus Christ. And so we need to know that. Then we need to bring our desires to Him. Tell Him what we want. I mean, He invites us. He tells us to come to Him and ask Him. He tells us to do that. And so we need to bring our desires to Him. We need to seek Him, right? And the Bible says, as we delight ourselves in the Lord, that He will give us the desires of our hearts. So let Him be the giver of that, because every good and perfect gift is from God. And the enemy that is egging us on to get our needs met for that instant gratification, that may not always be God's best. Also, when you bring your desires to God, you can ask Him to purify them by showing you the truth. Now, here's the thing. Your desires could be in line with the truth. You know, you may go to God and say, this person is, you know, and God may speak to you and say, you know what the truth is you need to confront that person in love, right? So we don't, you know, but it's just that desires can't make our decisions. The truth has to make decisions. And those passages in James 4:8 says that God can purify our hearts. He can show us what the true desire is behind that. He can reveal truth to us. And you know why that's important? It's important because it's our thoughts that affect our feelings, and our feelings that affect our beliefs. Oh, wait a minute. It's our thoughts, our thoughts that affect our beliefs that affect our feelings, and our feelings that affect our actions. And so to change, we need to change the way that we think about things, and our decisions need to line up with what is true. And as we seek God and ask Him to purify our desires, we want to come to Him and say, Lord, what is true? Because that's how it will change. It will not change if we just say, oh, just stop feeling this way. I mean, that's ridiculous. You can't stop yourself from feeling this way, but you can change the way you think. And only God can show you the truth. So seek him and ask Him for the truth, that He may purify your desires. And you know, God may come to you and He may show you that there was sin behind it. And if He does that, James says, just confess it to Him. Come to God, confess it to Him. And that's really where we invite the power of God and how we can handle our emotions without our emotions handling us. And then the last step is that when He shows you the truth, that you want to walk in line with the truth. Galatians 5:6 says this, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay? And so we want to walk led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. And that's very important, because sometimes with these feelings, you know, the answer is not the other extreme and just say, well, just do the opposite of what your feelings are telling you to do. No, the answer is to be led by the Spirit. And oftentimes, if we're getting legalistic about things, or we just make these blanket statements like, well, if I feel this, then I'm going to do the opposite of that, or you know, whatever it is we can sort of get on this pendulum of extremes, you know? I mean, we can say, okay, people pleasing was wrong, so now I'm never going to please anybody again, you know? And that's not walking led by the Spirit. And I want to close out today with a quote from April Cassidy. She's just released a book that is called The Peaceful Wife. I've been reading her blog for some time, and her blog is like really good. So she's just written a book, but anyway, she talks about this and I want to read it to you. The way I picture it, when we come to Christ and allow Him to be Lord and yield control completely to Him each day and each moment as best we know how, He doesn't call us to swing on the pendulum anymore. He empowers us to soar on wings like eagles above those sinful extremes in a beautiful balance of godly characteristics. Of course, it does take time. Sanctification is a process where we learn to allow God to work in us more and more. It is very much like learning to walk. We fall a lot, especially at first, but we are never exempt from falling. If we're not abiding in Christ and His Spirit is not in control, we can fall at any time into sin. Then she says this. I love this. The world thinks of, quote, power and, quote, freedom as, quote, the strength to do whatever we want, which is how the Ephesians were living, just directed by their desires. But in God's economy, power and freedom are the strength and ability to walk in obedience to God for His glory. Amen to that. So it's not, freedom is not following our desires and doing whatever we want to do. It's being a wise woman and living directed by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to walk through just real quickly those steps again. Remember, your goal is not to stop feeling. It is to start living led by the Holy Spirit and letting Him direct you instead of your desires. Remember who the real enemy is. Tell the enemy, yeah, that's the way I used to live, but I don't live that way anymore. Humble yourself to get help and don't hide and try to handle those emotions on your own, because God has grace for any emotion you are struggling with. Then you want to bring those desires to God. Ask Him. Let Him purify those desires and know that every good and perfect gift is from Him. And you can trust His love that He will fulfill those needs that you have in your life in His perfect way. And then we want to bring our desires to Him also to ask Him to purify them and to show us truth. How do we need to change our thinking? Because it's changing our thinking that gives us the power for our feelings to change, not trying to change the way we feel. And finally, you're at a crossroads. You can either be directed by your emotions or walk in the direction of the Holy Spirit. So you want to walk, live led by the Holy Spirit. All right, so battle on, my friends. You and me, we are wise women. And this wise woman is going to make it her goal to aim to live directed by the Holy Spirit, not driven by my desires, so that we can walk in our God-given destiny. Because your purpose is at stake, and your purpose matters. So don't squash your desires, but don't trade them either for your purpose. I hope you have an awesome week. We'll be looking at some more great verses next week in Ephesians, and I hope that you'll continue to join us. Again, if you want to join us, go to treasureministries.com and click on the Nourish Devotions tab to find out more. And I would love, love, love for you to join me on Periscope each morning. You can download that app and look at aline.thompson to find me. And then also would love to connect with you on Instagram or our Facebook page. So I hope that you will do that. And please, please share this podcast with others. We would love to get the word out about Treasured Ministries. Take care and have a great day. Bye-bye.